Algar Productions.
This is the Post-Atomic Horror, the most comprehensive Star Trek podcast ever produced. Your hosts are Ron Algar Watt and Maggie Robotham. Episode 530, Lost in Translation.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the Post-Atomic Horror. I'm Al.
I'm Maggie.
And we're here again to do some more business.
This one is a new one.
It is. It's a Lost in Translation.
It is. We're all going to get lost in translation like Bill Murray at an airport.
I didn't like that movie very much.
No, I didn't see that movie very much, so...
It's a lot of wandering around.
Well, sometimes you want to turn Bill Murray loose in an airport and let him murmur and putter.
I think that was the where he turned into a sad old man, and it was hard to follow him there.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, well, I thought you were Groundhog Day. And he's like, no.
Okay. I'm going to get that gopher.
I get the gopher.
Okay. Also, he had a relationship with a woman like 30 years younger than him, and you know. Okay.
I didn't thanks know about that.
Well, in the movie, I mean, I don't.
Oh,
have any
okay.
idea in real life, like that, because Scarlett Johansson's in that, and they're yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah. God, she would have been really young in that.
Yep. But thankfully, this is not that. This is a
no.
different thing. This is a Star Trek thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bill Murray has never been in Star Trek,
as far as I know.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we would have seen him at this point.
That's true. I don't know. We forget a lot of stuff, though.
We do forget a lot of stuff, but I feel like if he showed up, I would definitely go to you. Is that Peter Venkman?
He was in Space Jam.
That's true.
Which is the opposite of Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
Because I hate it.
Yeah, I also hate Space Jam. I think it's a terrible fucking movie.
Mm-hmm. Good. I'm glad we're on the same page. Mm-hmm. But yep. Let's talk about Lost in Translation. Let me tell you what
Yeah,
happens.
You tell me about Lost in Translation, then we can talk about it.
I'll tell you and the listeners.
All right.
Give you the long one.
Oh, boy.
The Enterprise races to Bannon's Nebula, this is a Johnny Quest reference, to coordinate with the USS Farragut and a refinery to mine deuterium, which we all know is what starships eat. As he will now be coordinating three different vessels, Pike has temporarily been promoted to fleet captain, a rank that also grants him permission to perform extra philosophical soliloquies on the bridge. Also, there's a new special fleet captain pin, which is inexplicably not for sale through any of the official Star Trek merchandise channels. Seriously, Paramount, why are you so bad at running this franchise? Spock mentions that the refinery is on the edge of Gorn space, but somehow La'an doesn't break through the wall like Kool-Aid Man and say her thing, which I think counts as character growth. She even has a conversation with another character later that pretty closely resembles a conversation that an actual adult human would have with another adult human. Nice job, La'an. Uhura, meanwhile, has been pushing herself too hard since her promotion. Whilst nearly dozing off during Fleet Captain Pike's mandatory soliloquy, she finds herself hearing dubstep wub-wubs that nobody else seems to hear. Could it be the Ba'ul from the disco episode and Obel for Sharon, who also sounded like dubstep? Or just lazy sound design? I'll let you decide, but I'll also just tell you it's the second thing. At least it's not those fucking monster clicks again. So Uhura heads down to engineering to do a diagnostic on the communication system, using the How to Do a Diagnostic on the Communication System video she shot of Hammer and never got around to posting to YouTube. Then she gets sad about Hammer being dead, but then she runs into him in the turbo lift. That's good. Except he's a zombie. That's bad. Concerned for her very sanity, she goes to Dr. Mbanga, who informs her that the great communications officer Nyota Uhura is in town. But doctor, she says. So Mbanga explores some other possibilities and eventually lands on deuterium poisoning. Turns out that exposure to deuterium can cause hallucinations. Also headaches, blurred vision, and nausea. But those are the possible side effects for literally every chemical the human body can ingest, which effectively makes this part of the diagnosis meaningless. Mbanga also suggests that sleep deprivation could be causing these problems, warns Uhura that working too hard could cause a heart attack, and orders her to get some rest. And like every try-hard from fiction and actual life that I have been known and or been, she spends about 30 seconds in bed before leaping back up to resume working. As she steps out into the corridor, she hears that wub-wub again, driving me to wonder if she's entered the Cybernet Space Cube, TM, before realizing that absolutely nobody is going to get that reference. Then she's attacked by her crazed doppelganger, so I guess she's actually in the Black Lodge? But before she can squeeze out an entire tube of toothpaste and ask how Annie is, the day is saved by, oh god, this guy. Hello, Jim. Yes, it's Sam's smug brother again. He's recently been promoted to first officer of the Farragut, but he's also already over here on the Enterprise with a tape measure and clipboard. I think I'll station a guy wildly turning some kind of wheel over here, he says to himself, before being punched in the face by Uhura. This is effectively the two superheroes fight the first time they meet, but ultimately become the best of friends, and that's basically what happens here. Which is good groundwork to lay, since these two are obviously inseparable by the time of the original series. Just BFFs for the ages, really. Kirk helps Uhura realize that the sundry wubs and hallucinations are actually aliens trying to communicate to her from inside the deuterium. What you should do, he tells her, is stroll onto the bridge and tell Pike you want to blow up the refinery. Also, if it were me, I'd give the order to fire the torpedoes myself. And somehow, inexplicably, this sleep-deprived ensign, who was only a cadet like 3 minutes ago, does exactly this. Which is absolutely insane, but also exactly what you'd expect from someone taking advice from Jim Kirk. And so ends Pike's stint as fleet captain, literally destroying a third of the fleet he's been put in charge of. Thanks, Jim.
Well, we won't do that again.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to have to make Pike some kind of a Commodore instead. I'm not quite sure what that's in charge of, but it certainly isn't three spaceships.
So I saw on Memory Alpha, this apparently is one of those sort of fill in the blanks continuity wise, because in the Menagerie, Kirk says, I met him when he was promoted to fleet captain and I was first officer of the Farragut.
And, yeah, sure.
Which is fine, except that fleet captain is just a thing he gets for 5 minutes and it feels like...
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not really playing by the rules there by saying...
Sure.
By having him establish that he was fleet captain and saying, yeah, but that only happened very briefly.
Mm-hmm. It's real, fleet captain. Look at this fleet. Look how fleet it is.
Mm-hmm. How fleet it is.
Mm-hmm. Two ships and a gas station.
Mm-hmm. Which is literally what Ortegas calls it.
I mean, it's Ortegas. It's fine.
I guess. Again, one of those, like... contemporary references that bugs me a bit, but yeah, it's not so bad.
The word gas station has definitely survived for 300 years.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're definitely still using fossil fuels on Earth.
I mean, listen, like, if there's one thing I know, it's that at the very least, America will still be using fossil fuels in 300 years, assuming it still exists.
One can only hope.
Love my beautiful coal.
Mm-hmm.
Shit my pants.
Friends, has this depression got you down? Try blue coal.
God, this depression has got me down.
Yeah, same. I mean, it's kind of inherent in the name there.
Uh-huh.
Okay. What was your good thing?
What was my good thing? So, like, I really like Jim in this one. Like, I agree. I was watching this with Mal. And also, like, I agree with you that the actor is not very good, but, like, I find this to be some really good writing for Kirk. Like, it's a great combination of, like, flirtiness, genuine intelligence, smugness, and also being kind of blind to some of the smugness. Like, the bit at the end where he's talking to Sam, and Sam's just like, hey, like, I'm really proud of you, and then just stands there waiting for Kirk to be like, yeah, I'm sorry. About being promoted.
What he wants is, I'm proud of you for being, like, for doing frontier science on the flagship.
Yes.
No.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, but you're not in charge of anything, so really, who cares?
That's the fucking character. It's just like, that's important too, in its way, I guess.
Okay, I actually agree with you. Like, first of all, I don't think he's a bad actor. I genuinely don't. I don't think he's the right fit for this character is all.
That's certainly true.
And the thing is, Kirk well written, and this is Kirk well written, has a lot of facets, and he plays a lot of them pretty good. It's just, it's the charm part that gets me. Like, every time, it's like, I said it before, like, he needs to melt your panties, and he doesn't.
Yeah.
You know.
No.
They're heating up a little, I guess, but, you know. No, and I love the Sam angle so much. I love, like,
oh yeah,
Sam's got this brother who's an overachiever, and he's just like, I'm doing pretty good. Why am I comparing myself to him? It ain't healthy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love that, like, this is one of those things where it's like, okay, we need to show exactly why fucking, if this guy becomes in charge of the ship that Sam is serving on, Sam decides, well, you know what? Maybe I'm done with Starfleet, actually.
Yep, yep. Makes sense. I'm not working for him. Are you kidding me?
I'm not doing this.
No. And at the same time, I also, like, I'm not exactly coming around to this Kirk. I'm basically just resigned to this is who we have, and I do like the
character. Well, this is who, yeah, like...
I do like the character.
We have Kirk at home, and we're going to eat it, I guess.
Yeah, it's fine. And, like, I'm trying not to complain about it as much. And I agree with you completely with the writing. The writing is absolutely there. And I like that this is sort of him starting to build, like... He had a little adventure with Uhura, and he's like, shit, you're good. When I put together my command crew, you're on it. And at the end, he meets Spock, and they start hanging out. And, like, you can see the wheels turning. You can see him saying, I know who the best officers in the fleet are, and they're working for me, like, when I get to be captain.
These are going to be my guys. Like,
And they're going to stick with me.
You're great.
You know, 79 episodes and 6 movies.
Yep.
And then my very best friends, Scotty and Chekhov, will stick around for an extra movie.
I love them most of all. I heard this was where paycheck was to be picked up.
Daddy needs new wig.
I have written book.
Apparently.
Apparently.
But no, it's there's
that
very
suits
good...
me. I just got a cameo on TNG.
That suits me. I've been casting homeboys from outer space. No, there's some excellent Kirk stuff in here. And again, I love the Sam dynamic very much.
No, I was watching this with Mal, and she know. I think I mentioned this before. She knows him from Vampire Diaries,
yes.
The actor.
Yes.
And I'm like, they got everything. Just like he's not a fucking leading man, and Kirk is like the leading man, you know. And she goes, "Yeah, he didn't have a leading man energy on Vampire Diaries either. He was a real that other guy over there."
Did they cast him as a leading man in that?
I don't think so. Like, I think he was like a side character also, but like he was definitely important.
Now the thing, and this is a tricky line to walk. He needs to, when he enters the room, everyone needs to turn their attention to him. And the problem there is then you're pulling focus away from Anson Mount, who also has that quality.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I don't know. But again, I'm trying not to dwell on that. And there was some really good Kirk stuff in here. And I, as much as I made fun of this in my summary, because really, Kirk and Uhura were like, I had no idea they knew each other. Like
best friends.
I thought they had an employee-employer relationship and that was it. But this was good. This was like, I don't mind them putting that in. That doesn't contradict anything I know. It just, it's filling in some like, Uhura didn't get shit to do and now she does.
I mean, that's one of the things I've enjoyed the most about going back to all these characters is just like, we know what, it was the Kirk, Spock, and Bones show. Like, we watched every episode.
Yeah.
Like, let's bring in all these other guys. Let's like, why do you like these guys? Why do they fit to, why are they going to spend the rest of their lives hanging out together? And you can't say because we got 6 movies out of it.
Mm-hmm. No. And we've said this before, like her and Chapel and Mbenga, who got 2 episodes and like, you know, it's great. And I saw that they cast Sulu. It's too bad that they cast Sulu in the very short final season, because that's another guy I'd really like to get to know better.
Well, and so I know that the showrunners have pitched the Trek Year One series to Paramount.
Yeah.
But God knows what Paramount's doing. And also, if I'm going to want to watch it at that point.
Well, we haven't really talked about this. This week, they announced that Academy is canceled. They are getting second season. But
2 years we get. Yeah.
They've finished one. The second one is coming and that's it, which means Star Trek's done right now.
Yeah.
Because Strange New Worlds still has season 4 dropping this year and short season 5 coming at some point. But those are filmed.
It.
Like they're in post-production for both of those now. Like there isn't any more being made right now. And
yeah. Now. Now, in theory, like, I know in theory, at least before Paramount has said that, like, Star Trek is important to our company. Like, it is a big brand that they have, you know, but God knows, like, I don't know, fucking God knows what's going to happen next.
Yeah, it just, and, you know, we say this regularly, they're running this franchise so poorly.
Yeah.
Like, say what you will about the current state of Star Wars, they are putting stuff out and they're trying to, like, okay, movies, like, after Solo, like, maybe we're pumping these out too quick. Maybe we need to back off a little. And that was a smart move. And now they're focusing, like, okay, people like The Mandalorian, let's do that. Like, just from a purely corporate branding aspect, they're doing a good job.
That one feels very much like, oh, fuck, people didn't like the last one. Baby Yoda movie. People fucking love that guy.
Yeah. The thing is, I like that show, all right? It's just, you know. It also felt like there was a clear ending to that. I can't remember if it was the end of season two or three or whatever, but it felt like that should have been it. And like, nope, got to keep it going.
I can't remember when I fell off because they also did two episodes of the Boba Fett show that were basically The Mandalorian. And they always get confused in my brain now.
Yeah. Boba Fett show was kind of a mess. I liked it, but it was not.
Sure.
But anyway, my good thing for this episode.
Yeah.
Uhura goes through some heavy emotional shit in this one. Like, she's still dealing with her family dying, which I forgot her sister also died. I remember her mentioning her parents, but her sister too. And then also Hemmer, who only just died, you know, a few months ago or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, she's still processing that and overworking herself, throwing herself into her job. Like, just the writing and the performing really make it work for me. She's young and she doesn't know what to do with all these emotions. And so she's good at work. So she throws herself in work. And that makes sense.
Yep. Makes perfect sense to me.
I wasn't a fan of the Voyager dream bullshit of it, which we'll get to in my bad thing in a minute.
Yes.
But her feelings and her overall arc, like, kind of shone through that and still made it worth watching to me.
Well, and like the other thing is, like, it's not just I'm good at work. It's like I am on the flagship, that which is insane. Like,
yeah, but we've seen before that she did this easily and was ready to just leave because she didn't want to do it, and everyone was we have to work hard. Like, she's kind of the gifted kid, which I actually liked. She's not arrogant about it. She just, it just doesn't occur to her that, oh, this is actually hard for some people.
Yes. Well, and like they show occasionally, especially in this one, I saw it a couple of times where she's like, oh, fuck, I made a mistake. I don't make mistakes. Something is clearly wrong here.
Well, maybe you should sleep. Did you think of that?
feels fake. Sorry.
Well, Mbenga, like I said in my summary, Mbenga tells her to get some rest, and she goes to her quarters and she stays there for a minute. And then she's like, well, can't sleep, back to work. And
that didn't work, sorry.
She has a great scene with Chapel after that, where Chapel's like, yeah, everyone ignores the orders part of doctor's orders. It's really annoying.
I love, she sort of comes back to consciousness on the bridge, and Pike's just there, just like, Uhura, are you supposed to be here today?
This, to me,
is... I didn't get the memo from Dr. Mbenga, so...
No, you're not cleared for duty. You should not be
here.
In fact, someone should be at that post, which means you shoved someone out of the chair to be there.
She's just sitting on some dude's lap.
Like, surely there's other communications officers that rotate in when she's not on duty. So, like, I don't know.
Ensign, can I help you?
Oh, hi, I'm Ensign. Can I help you? my bad thing. This is just an overall, like, all of Star Trek and really all of fiction. It's just one of those tired things that I've seen this enough. Like, unless you bring something new to it, I'm just so done with episodes where it's unclear to us whether the character is really seeing something actual or if they're dreaming or hallucinating. Like, just quit fucking with my expectations and just tell a story. Like, I'm not saying don't do that. I'm not saying it can't be done artfully, but I am saying Brandon Braga kind of ruined that. And unless you have a new angle, just tell a straightforward story for a while.
Yeah. The best guys have done this. The worst guys have done this. Like, it's all it's covered, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
that said, there are some Star Trek cliches that I enjoyed in this, like just watching competent Starfleet officers bash through a problem will never get old.
Yep.
Like watching Sam and Jim, and because Sam brings his like xenobiology, he's like, mm-hmm. yeah, there might be aliens, and if there are aliens, here's how they might work, and blah 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 blah.
Yep.
And the three of them are just throwing ideas out, and I will never get over that shit. That is kind of a cliche, but I still love it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm a big fan of what was it? The alien, like they find out that like the hallucinations are the aliens trying to communicate via charades, basically.
Yeah. They're using, like, you know, like we saw this in a bunch of Next Gen and Voyager episodes. Mm. Like they're trying to use the dreams or subconscious imagery or whatever to like, because that's all they have access to or something, you know, something along those lines. Like,
it's so, just like, well, Hemmer's my friend and he's a zombie now. Mm-hmm. So we're killing our friends and just.
Mm-hmm. And really, this kind of leads to your bad thing.
Well, that's the thing. This is just the episode. It just had more Star Trek zombies in it, which I find extremely boring. Like, yes. I've seen this done and done poorly. There's been no good version of the Star Trek zombie episode.
Disagree.
Well, I guess the Borg.
Yeah, best of both worlds.
Yeah. But if you want to have, if your plan is to have like, yep, here's a guy in a Starfleet uniform with his face all rotted off. Like,
yeah.
I saw that twice in Lower Decks and I never need to see it again.
That's true. They kicked off the series with that.
Oh, yeah. Ugh. And then they did it again like five episodes later. God, that show was lazy.
Mm-hmm. But
so lazy.
But I will say visually, and I think you agree with me here. Like, the look of Zombie Hemmer. And also, first of all, getting Hemmer back for this, like they shot some new stuff with him with his little instructional video for Uhura and then inner flashbacks and then as a zombie and like great to see him again. And the visual of like, that's actually what I ran with the cover art is because he looks so fucking good.
He looks fucking great. Like,
yeah.
Makeup and like some CGI to sweeten that shit a little bit, which is how you do zombies.
Yeah, exactly. And it's
go ahead. No, go ahead. I'm going off topic.
No, I was just going to say it's like he reminded me of Eddie from the Iron Maiden album covers. Just just that sort of like rotting, but he's clearly a guy. Like a lot of zombies to me look like they could be a puppet or something, but there's still a guy in there. You know what I mean?
Just some generic fellows, but like this is a unique fellow. You know what this guy looks like?
Yeah, and the Andorian look really takes to that too, I think.
Because
it makes him look like what's more traditional alien if you grew up in the 20th century than antennae? Like that's
exactly
that's it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, you were gonna say
the video that Uhura keeps watching is so sweet and just good, and it really made it just delighted me.
Yep.
It's like the thing she goes back, because like he's talking her through this thing, but also like he does, it's just like, and also, oh God, don't touch that.
Well, he says, you're not going to blow up the ship, relax, and then she reaches for something and he does that.
It's great. Yep. And it cuts to her watching it and she gets like a big smile on her face, just like, it's a really sweet moment, you know?
She is, and this was already my good thing, but really I just want to reemphasize this. She is so good. She's
amazing. I really like her.
She goes through so many, and they're big exaggerated emotions, but still.
Yeah.
Just like the joy of thinking of this fond memory of her friend, the grief, the tears rolling down her face when she's thinking about her family is just like, she fucking nails all of it.
Oh God. Just great, you know?
Yep.
This is the thing, like, she's so good, they should be giving her more to do. Like, fucking A, give her more solo episodes.
Well, yeah, this is, like, two seasons and two Uhura-centric episodes. That's good. If she gets one every 10, that's about right.
Yeah, perfect.
Yep, exactly. We had a whole subplot over on the refinery of number one trying to get, like, because production's slowed down. And it turns out because was he the engineer, the dude Ramon?
I think he was at least a engineer, yeah.
Okay. There's an officer over there who's going through the same shit Uhura is, and the aliens are talking to him, and it drives him insane, and he kills some people, and he jumps out an airlock. But before that, he's sabotaging the refinery. And so number one has to go over there with Pelia to try to sort shit out. And there's this great sort of antagonism. Like number one doesn't like Pellia.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because she's fucking, like, sloppy, basically. She's,
yeah,
like, you've got crumbs on your uniform right now. When did you eat?
So fucking good.
Very good. But she's like, you just, like, you've been in Starfleet 3 times longer than me, and I outrank you. What does that say about you?
Like, what did that tell you?
Yeah, and I think what it tells her is she doesn't care that much, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's still, like, it's a nice, like, at first I was like, oh, is whatever making Uhura crazy also making number one unreasonable? And no, this was all real.
No, and I love, like, the ending of that, which is like, no, you are also upset about Hemmer dying, and you see the,
yes.
like, I'm literally the, like, I took the dead man's boots, like.
Yeah, I feel like any replacement for a dead crew person, that's the same deal you go with. Like, if he's a beloved,
exactly.
you know, member of the crew, you have to go like, oh, good, and now it's you.
Well, and, like, there's also, like, I feel like if they had gotten someone who was just like, oh, this is my first day or whatever, like, you're not going to get that from number one.
No.
But, like, this is like...
No, Pellia is...
Like, this woman has been in Starfleet forever.
Yep. Like, I would not be surprised to learn she was kicking around in the Archer days. She's been around
exactly.
a long time.
It's just like, we got this fucking nut job. We had one of the best guys.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got you? Ugh.
And there's a great bit where Uhura's talking to Pellia about Hemmer. And she says, yeah, I just really miss him. And she says, oh, yes, one of my best students. And then she pauses and says, actually, no, he wasn't. I'm just saying that because he's dead.
He was average. I'm just saying that because he died.
It was so funny. She's so great. Also, seeing tiny little Carol Kane standing next to Amazon Rebecca Romijn.
It's like a difference of like 4 feet between these two women.
I know. It's delightful.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Carol Kane, I probably said this before, looks amazing for her age. She's in her 70s.
Oh, yeah. She's great.
She looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, there she is standing next to a literal supermodel and, like, holding her own. It's not like, oh, the hot lady and her ugly friend. Like, no.
Yep.
They both look great.
No, they're both, these are both two great women.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, fucking, Carol Kane is such, like, I'm not going to say she's a get, but, like, It's great casting to like bring her in as like a character on this show, man.
Absolutely.
Like, I was watching the first episode that she shows up in, and my mom was in town, and she and Mal were watching something, and the episode's going, and they both sort of just turn around and go, "Is that Carol Kane?"
Yep.
Because guess what? You can't really disguise Carol Kane doing a voice.
No. She's one of those people, like, I'm surprised she bothered with an accent. Like, it's fine, but it's just, like, you're Carol Kane. Everybody knows you're Carol Kane. Let's just run.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the, I always go back to it being the taxi, like, accent, because, like, I mean, that's the first place I saw her and fucking, you know. But, like, this, and I'm sure there's other stuff, too. She also had it when she played the Penguin's mom on Gotham.
Yeah, you mentioned this.
Yeah, which... You want to talk about great casting for the Penguin? Like, I don't know what the Penguin's mom looks like, but if you said Carol Kane, I would go, yeah, of course.
Yeah, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what else?
Also the bit where they're in the shuttle going back, and she's like, what's your problem with me? And number one's like, you gave me a C in when you taught me in engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And Carol Kane goes, that's not it.
No.
You're mad because of your dead friend, which is fine. And if anyone asks, I'll definitely tell them it was because of the sea. But we both know it's not.
But I like that she remembers. She's like,
yeah,
I read that paper. It was uninspired. And it was like sloppy research. And like, wow. So number one is probably 40-ish, 50-ish, something.
Like, she's got to be like, it's always hard to tell because future too. But
yeah,
like,
but my point is she was in the Academy 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, 20, 30 years ago, whatever, a long time ago. And Pellia has probably seen hundreds, if not thousands of students, and she still remembers her paper and the C that she gave her, which is wow.
Yep. Another reason I like that character. No, I remember you. Mm-hmm. Sloppy, very sloppy.
And also but then after all this sort of comedy stuff, she says, of course you're sad about your dead friend. And then she's like, I have lived through that a lot. And you have mm-hmm. that moment where it's like, oh yeah, she's practically immortal. Of course she's endured this a lot. Of course. Well, like this sucks for her constantly.
Well, they had that line from, I still think about that line. It's so good where she's talking to Spock and when she first shows up in Spock and she's like, you know, the worst part about being 10,000 years old, and he goes, watch your friends die. Mm-hmm. And she goes, no, everyone has to go through that if they're not horrible.
Yeah, that's true.
I keep going back. I've thought about that line a lot since that happened, we watched that episode.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
So there was one of those little, again, sort of continuity building things that I really like. Like when they do it right, I really enjoy this. Pike mentions that the person he's getting orders from is Admiral Nagawa, who is the guy in Star Trek 2 or I think 3, when Jim's got his desk job. He's an admiral and he's taking orders from this higher up admiral. That's Nagawa. So like,
oh yeah,
it's just a nice little bit of, you know,
I do like that kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
I will be shocked if we get through this series and like fucking Captain Decker hasn't shown up or something.
Yeah, that would be a good pull.
Yeah.
I mean, they got fucking Cybok, so, you know.
I mean, yeah.
Which was good.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about the Doomsday Machine again, because, God, again,
well, yeah.
What a goddamn great episode.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, what else?
What else? Ugh. A lot of my notes are
That's because a lot of the episode was Whoop, whoop, whoop. I liked Uhura. Yes. Uhura had a pair of earrings that glowed. It was just a nice
little detail.
Oh,
they're so pretty.
But she got a lot of close-ups in this episode because she was, you know, sort of the focus. Yep. So we saw them a lot, and they look very cool. Mm-hmm.
Now, I just got my ears pierced when I was visiting you guys like a couple of weeks ago, and I'm like, as soon as these ones come out, I might be looking for a set of glow-in-the-dark Uhura earrings.
Mm-hmm. Ah, and then there was the moment. This is just something I took a screen cap of when it aired and delighted me was when Chapel was playing chess with Spock, and one of the pieces could not look more like a butt plug if they tried. Like it's tapered, it's ribbed.
Mm-hmm.
It's this is a fucking butt plug. It's playing butt plug chess. Three-dimensional butt plug chess.
Who put this here? Kirk swings by just like, hey, I got to borrow this for a sec.
Mm-hmm. Is that a whole set?
Excuse me.
How many of those do you got? What is that? Is that a pawn? You got 8 of those?
Mm-hmm. Here. I brought you some bottle caps you can use instead.
And you got Mbenga just shaking his head like the guy in the meme, the paramedic in the meme that says,
yep.
Please don't stick this in your butt.
Mm-hmm. Million to one shot, Doc.
Uh-huh. Let's see what else. I think that's about all I have.
Yeah, I don't know if there's much else. We both have the when Ramon freaks out and runs screaming from the hospital.
Sick bay.
Assassins, murderers.
Of course we did,
because we are the exact same.
Well, yeah, pretty
much. Except when we're not.
Mm-hmm. I think that's about all I have.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
the
Kirk,
bit in the wall that has the flashlights in it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense that you'd have places in the corridor that have, like, you know, things you need in the ship. Mm. Probably first aid kits and fire extinguishers.
Oh, yeah.
Flashlights.
No, I always like, even more than I like seeing someone like, hey, we need flashlights. Beam us flashlights. Like, I like that. But also, I just like seeing the way the place works, you know, and that people put like 1 second of thought into how this place works.
Oh, they definitely do. They put way more thought into it than I do processing it when I see it. But
sure.
I know there are people like you appreciate it somewhat, but then there's people out there who really do.
Oh, yeah. You're technical manual guys.
Yeah, exactly. Which I am not. I am not insulting them at all. That's not for me. But if this show mostly, you know, gets it right, I'm glad.
Mm. Like, yeah.
If they can be happy and we can be happy, that's great. I just don't ever want that to overshadow the story. That's all.
Oh, yeah.
But no, it's a great little detail. You're not wrong. Yeah, Ramon, I knew a guy named Ramon, like his first name was Ramon, and he was just kind of a dude. He was just kind of a like a bit of a slacker. And like every time they said Ramon, which was this guy's last name, they might as well have just been calling him Steve. Like you better get Steve before he blows up the ship. Steve. That's what it sounded like to me. Come on, Ramon, get out of there.
I've had this issue anytime anybody anybody in anything is named Maggie now.
That makes sense.
It's weird because this never used to happen with the old name.
Weird.
It is weird.
It's almost like that name didn't really like apply to you.
Yeah. And
This name is actually your identity. That's strange. Mm-hmm. Weirdly, it doesn't come up much for me. You don't hear a lot of Algars in fiction.
In the wild, no.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this, when I do, I take a real note of them.
Yeah. Well, you let me know, too, because I need to contact my lawyer.
You know, right? There's a Alger, like, that I drive past when I'm coming home from Canada, and I think about it. I think about you every time I drive past.
Aw.
Well, not enough to, like, take a picture and send it to you, because, like, well, this is off by two letters, but still.
Yeah. I get it. Oh, and also this episode taught me how to pronounce Bussard Collectors.
Yes.
Which is a word that I've read all the time, but I've never actually, like, heard spoken.
I wanted to bring that up. So, Bussard Collectors and Deuterium both show up in the Voyager game. Like, they're, like, stuff you have to deal with.
Yep.
And so this is, now that I've read them 8 trillion times because I've been playing that game, I've been seeing them when they get mentioned in the show.
Well, that's your world-building, how does a starship work stuff. At some point, probably when they started the original series, they said, here is how a starship works. And so they're both drawing on that, you know?
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. So I know Bussard Collectors are a real, like, not real, real thing, but like a, like science, at least in the 60s, speculated that could be a thing. I think they collect hydrogen atoms for some, I can't remember, but I used to.
Well, they clearly collect Bussards, so.
Yeah, obviously. No, they're named for Bussard.
Oh. Yeah, it's the name for Bussard Collector.
Mm-hmm. That's his name.
Mm-hmm. An ensign who exploded.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else?
I think that's everything.
All right. Well, my quote is a bit of Pike's inspiring speech at the beginning and number one's reaction to same. Yep.
It's the shiniest gas station I've ever seen.
Well, it's not just a gas station, Lieutenant. It's right at the edge of the frontier. It unlocks half the quadrant. It'll be the jumping off point for the next great age of exploration.
Oh, good. I was afraid I'd miss the speech.
Well, I started earlier, but Uhura fell asleep.
Which just, you know... Like, good delivery, pretty obvious joke, but still pretty funny to me.
Good shit.
Yeah. Next week, I got some good news and I got some bad news.
Yep.
Good news is Flonk's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Bad news is Flonk's coming to tell us that we're wrong about Lower Decks again because it's the crossover episode, Those Old Scientists. Which, well.
I believe this is the episode where I bailed.
Yeah.
This was the episode where I bailed. An episode I quite enjoyed. Like,
yeah. Well, you know, we signed up
because I simply couldn't.
I'm with you. The thing is, this happens, and then the week after is the musical, and it was just a double whammy of do I like this show actually? But this season has had some high points, so it's just this is the downside of having 10 episode seasons. It's like, if you have a couple of duds, it feels like the whole season's wrecked. And whereas Next Gen or DS9 would have like 10 duds a season and still have a really good season. Like, you know, it's unfortunate.
Bring back 22 season episodes of Star Trek. Damn it.
That'll keep us busy for a while, if nothing else.
Yes.
All right. Well, the website, as ever, postatomichorror.com. If you want to write to us, postatomichorror@gmail.com. The Patreon is patreon.com/Algar. And that's all for this time.
Yeah. See you, folks.
Bussard.
The Postatomic Horror Podcast is a co-production of Maggie Robotham and Ron Algar Watt. Copyright 2026. Please don't sue us. We're just doing this for fun.